The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And we'd like to welcome you to another edition of Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio, out on the web at linewsradio.com. Spotlight on Long Island Schools is brought to you by the Nassau-Suffolk School Boards Association, serving Long Island school boards since 1959. Listen, they were so nice, we decided to have them back twice. The Herrick School District, last week we heard all about the performing arts and the wonderful music program. Well, now we're going to go down to the elementary buildings, and we're going to talk about two topics in particular. But to set that up, we want to welcome back the superintendent of schools, Dr. Tony Sinanis. And Doc, you know, the music program blew us away last week. And again, it starts at the elementary level on so many different things, right? You don't get a do-over in kindergarten. You don't get a do-over in first grade. And that's, you know, the love of learning starts that young. And, you know, what you have done with the music program, I'm excited to hear what you're doing at the elementary level with so many different other things.
Yeah, you know what, Bob, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here to spotlight our elementary team and our elementary program. I think, you know, so often in education, we talk about scores and we talk about ratings, and those are really often focused on the upper grades, right? Sometimes you get some of that in the elementary, but that's really primarily secondary level. And we look at AP scores, all things that are really important, but none of which would be possible if it weren't for the solid foundation that gets established in elementary school. And I've worked in a number of different districts, and I can tell you that there is no other team like the team that I get to work here in Herricks and work with here in Herricks in terms of our focus on those foundational building blocks for kids, not just in terms of their academic, not just in terms of the music, which we talked about last week, but also in terms of their social and emotional development. And we are committed to, in our, to the best of our ability, nurturing the growth of the whole child in our elementary school experience.
And social emotional learning, or SEL, as folks may have heard about it, it's a huge topic of conversation across every educational sector. It was so critically important before the pandemic. It's grown to a greater level. There are just so many things that are going on before that child enters the building that, you know, listen, it impacts learning. It impacts the learning environment. So to address it head on and to address it early, earlier intervention, earlier strategies for dealing with things on an evidence-based level are so critically important to the overall success. And I always say, it's better to invest on the front end than to pay for it long term on the back end. So SEL just kind of makes sense. And it was always there on some level, but I think it's really taken it to a different level. So I'm really excited to learn about some of the initiatives that you're employing there at your school district on the elementary level. And, you know, to see how it's going. So I want to welcome the Spotlight on Long Island Schools. Brennan, welcome. And, you know, SEL is... Listen, it's a personal passion of mine because I was in the industry for a long time, and I kind of saw the after effects of things that weren't picked up early and weren't addressed early on, and the consequences long term on that. So talk to us about SEL and how it's a priority there at Herricks.
Well, I think it's a shared commitment, a shared priority, K-12 here in Herricks. You know, you're hearing from the elementary team here tonight, and we'll be talking a little bit about the foundation stones that we try to establish. But, you know, we do have a district-wide social-emotional learning committee that has membership from all different, you know, grades and parents and students on that committee. And, you know, the purpose of it and the work that we do at the building level is really aimed at the well-being of our students. And, you know, this is a comprehensive effort. Not only, you know, do we span it from K to 12, but, you know, in each of our buildings, we have a number of programs that we have in place every single day, you know, to take care of our children and their families. Not only to see them through the difficult times of COVID and coming back to school after COVID, but in terms of their daily mindfulness practices that help them deal with the stress and the difficulties that they encounter in their lives. So, you know, we're really committed to this idea that, you know, a well-educated child is a person, is somebody that can do this kind of self-care and has the strategies available to them to take care of themselves for a lifetime. And these are things that we explicitly teach our students, just as we teach them math and reading and writing.
And I also want to welcome to the program Diana, talking about social emotional. Now, you know, for folks that don't really know, there's a difference between mental health treatment and mental health services, and that's not what this is. Social emotional learning is a little different than that. But talk to us really what SEL is, and you know, some of the coping strategies, I guess, that you teach the young students to employ.
Yeah, so first I want to mention that we do have a daily practice, and the way that we situate that in our day is that we've built into our master schedules at the elementary level an SEL block, so that every youngster in our K-5 programs is getting a daily 20-minute block to specifically designate for those skills that you mentioned. And during that time, we're using programs like Responsive Classroom Approach, Second Step, Sanford Harmony, and we're teaching students different everything from learning about things like empathy and compassion to self-advocacy and knowing how to recognize how they're feeling. And then, like you mentioned, recognizing some of the coping strategies that they can do to regulate with those emotions, whether that's taking a walk, doing breathing, engaging in a mindful activity or a short meditation. So we have a lot of that going on every day in the schools. But most important is that we're really looking for the students to connect to each other, to connect to a teacher, to a safe adult in the building. And so we really all share the philosophical approach of feeling safe and connected when a child is in their elementary school.
It's all about relationships. It always has been, you know, as complicated as things have gotten, and sometimes as well connected as we've gotten with technology, we've kind of disconnected that personal touch, that relationship piece. And that's always been a critical component to any successful school, is the relationship between students and the people in the building. Not necessarily just a teacher. It could be the custodian in the hall, the bus driver. It could be the person serving lunch. You know, I often say, you know, a bus driver could ruin your day before it even gets started, you know, and that relationship is so important. Brennan, what are some of the things, you know, it's evolved so much and it's on everybody's lips, and we're talking about it now because it's such a high priority. But again, those of us that have been around, we've known this has been building for a while. So what have we seen? What's different today from a stressor standpoint, if you will, that really has brought this to the forefront that may not have existed 5 to 7 years prior, that parents should understand it is different now? You know, I mean, times do change things, and there are different things out there that are causing different stressors.
Largely, this is a cultural phenomenon. It's not, you know, limited to simply what's taking place in the schools each day. But I think that there's a lot of influence from the internet these days that we didn't have years ago. I think that there's, you know, an inclination to, you know, push students a little bit harder in school than used to be the case years ago. I think that, you know, the impact of COVID cannot be, you know, underestimated. No. You know, we're still feeling some of the repercussions of, you know, that year and a half out of school with some of our students. And, you know, I mean, the way that we've decided to deal with that is really in a direct and overt way. As Diana said, you know, we have a 20-minute block every day that's built into our master schedules. So the purpose of those 20 minutes is to do so.
We must have lost them a little bit there. Diana, what are some of the things that you do in that 20-minute block?
We're explicitly teaching into the skills that we want students to be aware of, so that when they are faced with challenges, they know how to overcome them. It's not that we can, you know, build barriers to get those out of their way. They're always going to face those adversities, and we want to make sure that they can advocate for themselves, that they can help others, that they know how to be resilient and bounce back So we do everything from giving them scenarios and role-playing to actually letting them watch video clips and comment on it and talk about connections that they could make or how that might relate to them. We are on them all the time with in the moments, teachable moments at recess and during class time, and taking the time to really address interactions with students and teachers as they occur, and really just finding the time to have a safe space so that students can ask questions and not feel afraid to share their emotions with us, even if it's outside of a lesson or off topic.
Well, we're talking with the Herrick School District and some of the initiatives down at their elementary level. And we spent the first part of our segment talking about the social and emotional learning initiatives at the Herrick School District. When we come back from the break, we're going to be talking technology. Well, technology in the elementary level, what does that mean exactly? Well, we're going to find out. You're listening to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio. Out on the web at linewsradio.com. Check out our Facebook page, Spotlight on Long Island Schools. That's your place. The student desk, program, club, or activity that your students are involved in. And your school district may be the next one right here in our Spotlight when we come back. Continuing our conversation with the Herrick School District right after this. We'd like to welcome you back to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio, out on the web at linewsradio.com. Bob Vecchio, your host. Spotlight on Long Island Schools is brought to you by the Nassau-Suffolk School Board Association, serving the Long Island School Board since 1959. Continuing our conversation with the Herrick School District. And we just, listen, we could do hours on the topic of social and emotional learning. And Tony, as the superintendent of schools, before we start to talk about the technology piece, there is one follow-up on the SEL. What are you seeing in terms of outcomes since you've initiated this stuff? I'm sure you've probably seen maybe less referrals, better classroom management. Talk to us about the outcomes that you're seeing with the investments you're making here.
I think primarily one of the things that is visible on the surface is that we're seeing kids more conscious of the techniques that they're being exposed to, right? Accessing them in moments when maybe they would not have done that. There's something about emotional intelligence and emotional self-awareness that is incredibly empowering. And then when there are moments where you're dysregulated, because we all become dysregulated at times, having strategies to self-regulate is critical. And I'm seeing our kids at a younger age talk about breathing techniques, self-talk, the power of empathy. And Diana, in our previous segment, touched on this notion of empathy. That's also something that's critical to our work as it relates to SEL. Like, how do we help our kids grow in a way that allows them to appreciate and understand those around them? And I think it's also something we're thinking about as adults. How do we support each other? The impact of the pandemic was not one that was limited to our students alone. It impacted the adults as well, our families, our faculty, our staff. It was a traumatic experience. How do we support our adults in their growth and in their learning? And that's found its way into some of our professional learning opportunities as well. So I'm proud of that. I do think it's, you know, a long-term game. It is not a short-term game. It's not here are two or three techniques and we're done. I think it's going to manifest itself in different ways over the next 2 to 3 years. And our job is to just be one step ahead of it, or at least aware of it, so that we can empower our kids with strategies.
Yeah, I believe it's going to be a decades-long issue. Yeah. I mean, the PTSD from all this. But I think self-awareness at such a young level is so critically important. And again, self-awareness with the tools in the toolbox to deal with the coping skills and to understand that it's okay. It's okay that you're feeling this way, and it's okay and safe to reach out to somebody for help. That is so critically important that I think is a great lesson for adult and child alike. So we're going to switch gears a little bit, talk about technology in the elementary level, and want to welcome back to Spotlight on Long Island Schools. You heard him when Herrick's was last here about a language immersion program that they had, which just phenomenal, just will blow you away. I mean, a lot of things your guys are doing there at Herrick's just totally blow me away, which is why I'm always excited to have you back. Dominic, welcome back to Spotlight on Long Island Schools. So technology in the elementary level, what does that mean exactly? What do you, you know, is it computers? Is it, you know, Woodshop, talk to us about what you guys are doing.
You know, strange, Bob. First, thank you. It's great to be back. And when we say technology, people usually turn to just iPads or Chromebooks initially. And I'm going to talk briefly about Chromebooks, but then I'm going to turn it over to Lily, who's going to talk to you about our new makerspace initiative that's taking place at Denton Avenue and going to be taking place at Center Street in Searingtown as well in the near future. You know, we were very fortunate last year that the district implemented a one-to-one device initiative from grades 2 through 12, which was absolutely wonderful. I mean, it really afforded us the opportunity to personalize learning for all of our students through various platforms. We're able to tailor that learning experience and really differentiate instruction on a daily basis. You know, this is something that, you know, in the past would take so much effort and would be so difficult to do. But now with technology, you know, teachers and students are really able to differentiate instruction on a daily basis. And students are now becoming independent and taking ownership of their own learning. It really affords them, you know, this aspect of responsibility for themselves now. And, you know, the long-term aspect of this is that it really provides them with the opportunity to be college and career ready. They're being exposed to things in their education in grades 2, 3, 4, 5 that, you know, some students aren't seeing in their 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. So it's really something special that's going on in Herricks. You know, we're able to scaffold instruction for all of our learners, whether it's the language immersion program, our English language learners, our students with disabilities. It just affords everybody an opportunity for an equitable education and a chance to learn at their own pace. You know, along with that, it allows us to instill more rigor in our learning and affords teachers more opportunities to assess students. We're able to, you know, assess, provide assessments online. Those assessments provide us with immediate feedback, and teachers can then tailor their instruction to individual students. So it's really been a special year and a half here in Herricks with the implementation of the one-to-one devices. And, you know, moving forward, you know, we're really looking forward to just taking this to the next level.
To talk a little bit more about that, Lily, welcome to Spotlight on Long Island Schools. And, you know, so glad to hear, because, listen, kids are so adept and quick to learn the new technology. And, you know, we're starting to hear more and more about, you know, AI and ChatGPT and how that's going to change education, you know, forward thinking, you know. And, you know, we have to train our students today for the jobs of tomorrow that don't even exist today, right? So technology is going to be so important to all that. Talk to us, first off. Tell people what MakerStation is so they understand.
So a makerspace is really a space where children can explore and tinker through materials. They can be upcycled. They can be high and low tech options for children of all learners. The idea is really like they are actually making things for themselves, possibly to solve a problem or simply to explore something. And it's not always high tech. I do want to caution against this over-reliance on tech. It is really more about the thinking process and their ability to become really critical thinkers. And, you know, you just mentioned before thinking about being very forward-thinking. We are extremely future-oriented here at Herricks. We really think about what are the ways that we can create these agile, adaptable, critical thinkers who are really going to architect and inhabit a landscape we haven't even yet conceived of, right? So as they go through this makerspace experience, this space, right, this dedicated time, they're allowed to dabble and create. So much more so than children are currently being fed things to be consumers. We're very lucky. Our PTA really helped to support us with funding some of the high-tech options in our makerspace. And we also got mini grants from our school district to support the low-tech options for our younger learners as well. So everybody has a seat at the table in terms of how they choose to make. It's this really amazing maker mentality. I mean, even Dominic and I, when we went in and we're like, you know, how can we hack this space? Let's put some casters on these tables. Let's make some flexible seating for the kids so we can move things around. I mean, it really gets us into that thinking of like, well, we're not really constrained by these things if we can think outside of the box. It's school-wide. All students and classes have access. All grade levels have access. And some of the really cool things that you'll find inside our makerspace is, one, a lot of space. Space is great because if you don't have space, you can't roll around the robots, right?
That's
you
true.
Can't topple over Kiva planks. There's also even augmented reality tools for coding for our youngest learners. We have pocket-sized computers called microbits that really engage in this sort of physical computing with coding so that way they can think about how do we make wearables? How do we make... and I have had firsthand experience with this, kids who are making wearables to time themselves for how long they leave the classroom. Very interesting. It's just a really fun, creative way where kids can kind of examine the world around them, think about like problems or things they want to solve on their own and utilize technology for that rather than consume it. And they're really able to go through the New York State Computer Science and Digital Fluency Standards in this really holistic, child-centered, playful way. They get to explore the impacts of computing, computational thinking, network systems, and cybersecurity and digital literacy. It's just such a wonderful way of learning that is so child-friendly rather than sitting in front of a computer and just like typing away. It's just very.
We're talking all of this at the elementary level. So, I mean, some of the things you're talking about, you hear in the secondary level. So, it's amazing that you guys have pushed it down to the relevance of the primary level. So, by the time they get into the high school, this is old hat. They're ready for the next thing or whatever it is. I give you guys so much credit. Tony, you guys are doing amazing work there at Harrick's. In our last minute, I'll give you the last minute just to highlight some of the things that we haven't touched on. We've touched on so much over the last 2 weeks. Leave us with a parting thought.
I can tell you this. It is an honor and a privilege to serve this community and to work with educators like Dominic and Lily, Diana, Anissa, Brennan, and those you've met in the past. There is such a strong sense of community that exists here in Harrick's, which is interesting because, like as mentioned to you earlier, it's not a town necessarily. We draw from so many other towns, but there is a strong sense of community, a strong sense of unity. And I think that allows us to aspire to greatness and to achieve it on a regular basis.
Well, hats off to the entire team at the Harrick's School District, community, students, staff. You're all doing some amazing work, and we've enjoyed our last couple of weeks with you. You've been listening to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio. We thank you for tuning in each and every week to hear about the amazing things that our students and our schools are doing right here on Long Island. Thanks for tuning in, and stay safe, be well, and we'll see you next week.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.